is Hate is Gonna Hate, Love is Gonna Love. And it's on the topic of Sinat Chinam. And what we usually translate is baseless hatred. And the question we're going to try to explore is, like, what is that? How do we get rid of that? And perhaps how does that relate in general to our interpersonal relationships, not just specifically hatred? Okay, I thought obviously it's an appropriate topic to talk about in the context of Tisha B'Av. And hopefully at the end of it, we'll have something practical to take back with our lives with us. I have a little surprise for the end, but we'll a little worksheet that we'll do together. And it's meant to be something like an hour here, but who knows, a little less, a little more. We'll see how it goes. So it all begins with a very, very famous Gemara quoted in Yoma. Shulam Shulam. Welcome, welcome. Oh, actually, I wasn't supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say Shalom at Tashuvel. You're supposed to say Tzaraim Tovim. You're not supposed to say Shalom, so not Shalom, but Tzaraim Tovim.
Right.
Baruch Haba. Baruch Haba. Yeah. So the Gemara is discussing all the different reasons why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And the truth is, it gives a lot of reasons. It isn't the only reason. And it talks about why the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And it talks about the Avodah Zarah and the Gilui Arayis and Shvi Chotam and the cardinal three sins which were going on, which got the first Beit HaMikdash destroyed. And then it says something which L'chaira seems surprising. Mikdash Sheni, Shai Oiskim B'Torah. They were learning Torah, Uve Mitzvos, and doing Mitzvos, Ugmilu Chasodim, and they were doing acts of kindness. Mipnei Macharav. Why was it destroyed? Mipnei Shaita Bo Sinat Chinam. Because there was baseless chinam, like for no reason, hatred. Sheshkula Sinat Chinam Keneged Shalosh Averos. Sinat Chinam is corresponding to all three sins. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, V'Shvi Chotam. All these big three cardinal sins, when you hate someone, it's like you did all of them. And that was the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. By the way, our learning should be for the schus of Am Yisrael. It should have Fuah Shleima, and it should be Shalom Bayis, and everyone should find the Zivug, and all the brachos should come down in the schus of us, making time on this hot fasting Tisha B'Av day. Mizrat Hashem. Mizrat Hashem. Tov. So the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of hatred. Baseless hatred. Now, the truth is, there's a historical explanation for this reasoning given by the Gemara. Anybody suggest why might this make sense historically? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of hatred, baseless hatred. So we're going to learn the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and just that's where we're going. Excellent. But before we talk about the Gemara and stuff like that, I'm just talking about history. Talking about what do we know historically, which would make this make a little bit of sense. Very good. Exactly. In other words, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna speak it out in my language. That we know that there was infighting amongst the different sects of Jews, the Zealots, the Pharisees, all the different groups during the Second Temple time. And actually, we had a huge wall, and we knew that the Romans were going to come and siege us, and we had prepared enough food for years. And the plan was to just outlast the Roman legions until they just left. Because we were so fortified, there was no way in, and we had so much food. So we actually should have won the war, at least we might have won the war. But the Zealots did not want us to be complacent. And they wanted us to fight the Romans. And so they burnt down the wheat and barley, according to historians like Josephus. So it turns out actually on a historical level, the infighting amongst the Jews was that hatred, the baseless hatred, was what caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
And they probably couldn't win, by the way. tactic was to solidify his rulership, so he cracked down on anything that were done.
Right.
Yeah, but if it wasn't for the Zelts, they could have remained under
Rome. I'll tell you the truth. We don't know. Who knows?
Yeah,
who
knows?
No, we know that they wanted to take us down. There's no question. The question is, what would have happened if we would have waited it out?
That's
they weren't
we don't know.
Destroying that's the temple. They were just trying to get just to
sovereignty.
Rule over.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But it's just interesting, you know, before we go into the spiritual explanations, that historically the lack of unity was actually the breaking point. Only when they broke in did the Jews unite and start fighting them. But it was too late at that point. But that's interesting historically. But we believe that the Gemara wouldn't be teaching us this if it didn't have relevance for us today. Okay? There's another very famous Gemara which says that if the Beit HaMikdash has not yet been rebuilt today, it's as if we have destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. That's at least the way Shulam, I mean not Shulam, greetings. Greetings. Hey, Maury. So if the Beit HaMikdash is not yet destroyed, it means that we must still have a little bit of the sin, whatever sin that was, and the sin that the Gemara is pointing out was Sinat Chinam. Okay? Everybody with me so much? So we got to figure out what the Sinat Chinam is so that we can get rid of it. And then dance at the Beit HaMikdash tonight. Sounds like a plan? Perfect. Okay. So we are going to talk about the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the famous story which explains what is the Sinat Chinam. But before we go there, I wanted to just say like the basics about sinna, about hatred. Okay? The Torah forbids hating another Jew. Okay? You're not allowed to hate another Jew. A lot of times there's this notion that the Torah doesn't command us to have different emotions. It's not completely true. For sure, the Torah will let certain emotions can flow through you. That's okay. You can have certain thoughts. But to dwell upon thoughts, certain negative thoughts, like jealousy or hatred, is against the Torah. And the Torah does command us to change the way that we think and to change the things that we focus on. So one example of that is hatred. So the Torah tells us in Vayikra Yutet Yet Zayin, Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Ochech tochech atamitecha. You should give him rebuke. Lo tisa alavchad. You should not bear hatred. Okay? So it's usur to hate. So while that helps us to understand why we shouldn't do it, it actually makes the question a little bit stronger. And the question is, so it's an isser, but there's 364 of those issers. Okay? So why should this be the one sin that gets us, the Beit HaMikdash destroyed, that we have to fix in order to bring Mashiach? There's 364 other issers, and we don't find that you're chayav mita if you hate someone, right? So why is this the one thing that the Gemara points out that it's the reason that the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed? It's the reason why we're still in Gullus to this day. If it's just another sin. Sorry?
Which, Sinat Chinam?
Sinat
Chinam. Shaming publicly is also
terrible. Shaming publicly is also terrible. It's like killing someone, for sure. And yet that's not given as a reason for the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. Although it's interesting, that is connected to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, as we'll talk about. So what's so bad about hatred that gets singled out as the reason the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed?
It's like the source of all the evil in the world.
But why? I want us to go a little deeper.
Well, one thing is it breaks up unity.
Okay. Nachon. So if the whole Indian is achdus and unity, and hatred is exactly the opposite of unity, so it would make sense that would be the core problem.
Isn't there a saying that Hashem would rather that we all get along and do a Avodah Zarah than serve him but hate each other?
Yeah, like in a time of Ahab, it was like a very peaceful time, and there was a lot of...
Very good. So you're pointing out that there seems to be a very core value in the Torah of achdus. We see this by the Tower of Babel, with Rashi who says, oh, at least they were unified. And actually, the Netivot Shalom explains in Yer Derech, in Parshat Korach, when he's explaining the Isser of Machlokes and the terrible punishment which Anshe Korach experienced, unprecedented, where they get swallowed up by the earth. So he relates it back to this concept that unity, oneness is what it's all about. And machlokis, you know, ruins oneness. And hatred also would, you know, bring us away from unity. I think that's absolutely correct. And that's, okay, we'll put that on the side. But that's for sure part of the equation of what's so bad about Sinat Chinam. Okay? But I want to ask another question, which is, you know, I'm going to hold off in a second, because before we get into the philosophy, I just want to clarify, what do we mean when we say it's forbidden to hate somebody? Just on a halachic level, what does that mean? Does it mean if I pass some guy and I say, oh, I hate that guy? What if I think I hate that guy? It goes through my head. Did I just do a sin just because I thought that? Do I have to love everyone? What if I just don't get along with someone? Like, how exactly do we define halachically what it means to hate? You hear that? Okay, so David's saying it's about actions. It's not just about a feeling.
You can't act untowardly towards them. So, like, you're going to lend them something beforehand. You can't, or you can say hello to them, good morning, every day, and you suddenly hate it. You have to still say with a smile, good morning.
Uh-huh. So both of you are saying it's connected to your actions. What you're saying, actually, Yonatan, David Yonatan, good connection here, yeah. And I'm Kalman Yunus. Yonatan is actually lo titor. You're not allowed to get vengeance. Mm-hmm. So if you always give the guy a hammer, then you can't not give him the hammer. You can't even point it out. Now, you're right that it's connected. Obviously, they're interconnected, because if you're hating someone, you're going to come to bear a grudge, which is against the Torah, and you're going to not lend the hammer, right? Actually, that's what the Chafetz Chaim says, exactly like you said. He gives that exact example. Because if you're going to hate someone, you're going to come to do all these other actions. But the question is the hatred only when it becomes expressed through an action, or is even just thinking the thought violating any sort? You hear the kasha? So like every other kasha, it's a machlokas. it's a machlokas, but lemaisa, I'll tell you what the practical answer is. Based on the Chofetz Chaim and Rabbeinu Yonah, it's both. Meaning to say, if you purposely distance yourself from companionship from a person, that can be part of the isur of Lotisna. And if you dwell upon angry thoughts, hating thoughts, not if it flows through you, thoughts come through us. That's part of being human. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you dwell upon it in a way that's going to distance you with someone else, that also is the isur of Lotisna. And certainly, again, an action, like not lending the item, whatever, would be part of that issue of hating another Jew. Okay? So, just on getting practical here, I'm trying to always make these shears as practical as possible. The next time you hear somebody say, I hate that guy, or I can't stand him, or I won't talk to him, or nobody likes that guy, or he's so annoying, you might just be not only speaking Lashon Hara, but also doing another Isser of Lotisnat Achicha, of not hating a brother. So watch out for that. Okay, so we don't want to do that if possible. But again, it's an inward feeling and an openly expressed hatred. We're letting it fester until the point where it's a grudge. All of these things are against the concept of Lotisna. Okay? And with that said, it's really fascinating to know that the Torah knows that you're still going to hate people, that Jews are going to hate others, that it's almost impossible to avoid. How do I know that the Torah knows that that will actually happen? I have a good proof. First of all, we have Yetzer Hara, and the Torah knows we're not perfect. You're right. But,
So not hate a brother in your heart?
So that's telling you should...
In a deep way, whereas... It doesn't say you can't have hateful thoughts, but in your heart is a deep sense of internalized hatred.
Okay. So that's a good drasha. I like it. You're saying that it's more than just a passing thought. It's a real... And, you know, I think that makes sense. I would, if I were God, I would agree with your pshat on the puzzle.
It knows that it's going to occur with Jewish people because it says not to. Otherwise, why did you give it a...
So I wouldn't even bother telling you that it's not going to happen. You're right, that's another good proof. But I have another proof. And that's a pasuk in Mishpatim where the Torah tells you, Ki tivgashor oivecha, when you run into the donkey of your enemy, ochamoro, or donkey, toe, hashet tisvenelo, return your enemy's donkey, Ki terecha mor sonecha, when you see your enemy's donkey, Robetz Tachanasa, going under his whatever, under his weight, Azov Tazoimo, help him out. In other words, the Torah is saying, when you see your enemy, when you see the person you hate, it says the word, you hate him. The Torah recognizes there will still be people you hate. Right? Still, you have to help him out. You have to go and help this person out, even the guy you hate. So as much as some try to explain it, say, no, you don't really hate him. You saw him doing a veira, so you're obligated to hate a part of him, but you don't really hate him. Okay. But on a push-up shot level, like, you don't like this guy, but nonetheless, you have to be nice to him. Which is amazing in of itself. Torah is telling us that if you want to get over hatred, this is what Chafetz Chaim says, be nice to people. You don't like someone, be nice to them. It actually works. I actually tried this with a student who I really wasn't getting along well with, and I tried to be extra nice to him, and it worked. By the end of the year, we were kind of friendly. So it does work. And that's what the Torah advises, that you should be nice to someone who you don't hate, who you don't like. That's very nice advice. It doesn't always feel so natural. It doesn't always work like that. So interestingly enough, the Rambam gives another piece of advice about how we should deal when we have negative emotions towards someone else, when someone else did something wrong to us. Anybody familiar with this Rambam, Hilchos Deos? What do we do when we don't like someone, we're not getting along well with someone? What should we do? Okay, you can find a mediator. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. So I'm going to read it inside. The Rambam says, and it's beautiful how it's... Okay, there's another good idea. You could meditate about the good upon them and do Rabbi Nachman, look at the Nekuda Tova, and pray for them. Beautiful, beautiful ideas. I like it. I mean, put it on the list. What do we do? Okay, remember where you're from. Be humble. There's a lot of great ideas. But let's say somebody did something that really bothered you. I'll tell you. Once in my life this actually happened to me, where I followed the Rambam's advice. Let's read the Rambam and I'll tell you the story. Kishiachto ish liish lo ish matenu. When somebody does something wrong to another person, don't be silent. Vishtok. And do nothing. Kumosh nemar b'rashayim, as it says by wicked people, v'lo dabar avshalom et amnon me'uma l'mera v'atov kisana avshalom et amnon. Now, Avshalom, if you're familiar with the story, he was very angry at what Amnon did to his sister. And he didn't let anybody know that he was really angry at Amnon. And eventually he got his vengeance over Amnon. But the rabbis say this was an evil act of Avshalom. And he let him do more evil things later. He wasn't honest. He kept the hatred inside and then he got his vengeance later. Okay, so this is not the way of righteous people. Righteous people don't let anger fester. Rather, Ela mitzvah alav leodia v'lomar lo lama sita likach v'kach. Why did you do that? Go over to him. V'lama chatate li b'devar ploni. Why have you sinned in this matter? Shenemar hocheach tocheach et amitecha. You shall surely rebuke your friend. Right? And you guys remember, what was the beginning of the pasuk? Hocheach tocheach et amitecha means give your rebuke. But the beginning of that pasuk was, you shall not hate your friend in your heart. Lo tisna achichad belavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. You should rebuke him. So explains Rabbi Foreman on the Rambam. It's step one, step two. Don't hate. But what if you're still feeling hatred? Go over and rebuke him. By the way, and then what's the very next pasuk? How should you rebuke him? V'aftal reacha kamocha. With love. Only when you rebuke somebody with love can it actually be effective. There's a beautiful step-by-step process which is going on here, which the Torah is advising us psychologically, which we're meant to go through if something's really bothering us. You shouldn't just let it go. We should actually confront the issue.
But there's also the phrase, today, you just have to give your rebuke today.
That's also true. It's also true. Which is why it's very, I would say, step one, if you can forgive the person without confronting him, without making a big deal about it, just do that. If you can learn the Torah of forgiveness and how it's just a plague on our hearts and just get rid of it and judge him favorably, go for it. You don't need to make a big fight out of it, right? But if you can't, we're talking about a serious issue, a serious wrong, and it's really bothering you. So I know this is not easy, but ideally we should go over with as much love as we can fester and just be honest with the person and say, listen, what you did, this, and this thing, it really bothers me. I don't really understand. Please, let's clear this up. It's a very noble thing that the Torah is requiring of us. It's not easy, but that's what the Torah wants to do from us. I'll tell you a story. So once, when I was 15, I wrote a journal, and it was camp. And I wrote some very private things in those journals, you know, co-ed camp, you can imagine. And one of the kids stole my journal. And he read it. And he read it to other kids in camp. It was just not cool. And I was really frustrated with this person. And I was a pretty firm kid even at the time. I was familiar with these concepts. So I confronted him. I actually went over to him in private. And I told him, you really hurt my heart. Like, I don't understand why you would do such a thing. It was private. I didn't get into the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Kri Natzer. I just told him it was really hurtful. And he apologized. And like, I can't say we're best friends, but like, that was it. He saw us from my heart, and like, he moved on. You know, I think he learned a lesson. I hope so. You know? Actually, I heard he's like a rich philanthropist. One of these days, I want to reach out to him at the Simcha Center. Anyways, maybe he's listening to this year. He's a good guy. You know, he grew up. Anyways, that was once in my life when I actually practiced this. It's, of course, every relationship is unique. You got to know the right time with your wife. Do you want to confront? Do you want to wait for the right mood? Doesn't necessarily have to happen right away. It's a complex issue. But in theory, the Torah is against us festering hatred. And the Rambam is saying you need to get rid of it. You need to clear the air. Okay? Fine. Adkan Sinah. You know what? There's actually one more point I want to make about Sinah before we go on to Sinah Tchinam. And that is, I started off asking, you know, the Gemara says that the reason Beit HaMikdash was destroyed is because of Sina, this anger. That's why that was the last screw which, you know, knocked down the Beit HaMikdash. Do we have any historical precedent in the Torah itself for thinking that hatred was poisonous and, you know, what got this whole thing started, this whole bad thing started? Exile, temple. Where else do we see some hatred in the Torah which leads to bad stuff? Exactly. If you think back, when the Torah says in Perek Lamed Zayin, Vayiru Achav, Ki Oto Ahav Aviyah Mikol Achev, that the father hated more than his brothers, Vayisan Uoto, and they hated him. And they couldn't speak peacefully to their brother. And they let their anger fester, their hatred fester. That's what ultimately got Yosef sold in slavery, which is why we went down to Egypt and got into exile. And that's what got this whole bad thing started in the first place. So wouldn't it make a lot of sense that the tikkun would be love and brotherlyhood and getting rid of this anger and this hatred? Yeah? You with me so far? Okay, cool. So, now I want to go on to question number two. Now that we've defined sinna, I want to ask a different question, which is, what is sinat chinam? Because you want to say hatred destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that's cool. But the Torah says baseless hatred. The Gemara is saying baseless hatred is what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Let me ask the question like this. Have you ever just walked down the street, saw a guy and been like, I hate that guy. That hat, it's disgusting. I just want to like beat him up. And then someone says, why? What's he so? He's like, I have no reason. I just hate him. Just hate him. Like, does that happen? You know, does that ever happen that you just... Sometimes. It might happen. You just really don't like a guy. It could happen, right? But is that the reason the base of Midas is destroyed? Because of our psychopathic moments when we just randomly hate people? Like, is that the thing that's the core to everything? Random hatred? Hey, that's kind of weird. So, what do we mean? What does the Gemara mean when it says baseless hatred? So I'm gonna offer three answers to that question, but I want to hear what you guys think first.
Is that the literal translation of sinat chinam, baseless?
So that's the question. What does sinat chinam mean? It's generally translated as baseless, but as I just pointed out, it's almost never baseless. There's always a reason. You never hate, even if it's because you don't like his hat. So that's your reason, because you don't like his hat. So what does it mean, sinat chinam? How do we define that, and what is that, how does that manifest itself? You guys hear the question? So what do you guys think? Any ideas?
Like, it sounds like it's not an occasion, like a vibration.
It's a good.
Uh-huh.
Fester.
Uh-huh.
אתה אומר שזה לא פשוט פעם איזה חשיבה קפצת לתוך הראש, זה מחלוקת.
How you relate to it.
Ah, how you relate to the world is one of hatred. And then eventually you just start seeing the world through hating eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually a fourth answer, but it's a profound one. Very good. I like it. It's about training ourselves to see negative as opposed to training ourselves to see the good. Very good. Excellent. Any other answers as to what we mean by baseless hatred? So let me offer, like, maybe the most simple explanation. Maybe before we get too fancy. The Gemara makes it clear that theoretically, you are allowed to hate under certain circumstances. Okay, in fact, we say this every day, every Kabbalah Shabbat. Ohavei Hashem sinura. Those who love God hate evil. So, in other words, especially in Talmudic times, under particular circumstances, there was an excuse for hating. Okay? So, for example, if someone was an avid anti-Semite, ratting people out to the government and getting them killed, you would be permitted to hate them in under that circumstances. He would not be considered your friend. Okay, it's a very extreme case, but there are such circumstances. So sidchat chinam is basically, if it doesn't meet that category of, sometimes there's hatred for a reason, right? God wants us to hate certain values and whatever, but if it's not for a reason, it's not going to bring you closer to Hashem or bring the world to a better place, then it's pointless, it's baseless, and that's what's considered baseless hatred. Everybody understand my definition number one? That's how some of Farshim explain it. Okay? Now, for our times, all the rabbis say that there's no reason to hate a secular Jew, for example, at all. There's no excuse to hate a secular Jew nowadays. For all sorts of reasons, we don't put them into the category of purposeful abandoners of God. In the world we live in, where most people aren't keeping Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, all the rabbis from Dati Lumi to Haredi say, no, we should treat people who are not religious with love and respect, and not with hatred. So in other words, nowadays, any hatred, basically, would be baseless hatred. Okay? But that's the simplest explanation of why it uses this phrase, of sinat chinam. Okay? I want to offer an alternative explanation, which I think is quite profound. And in order to get there, we are going to read the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Okay? I assume most of us have heard the story before. Yeah? Okay? But it's still worth, the Gemara actually is recommended to learn this story on Tisha B'Av. And we're going to quickly run through it in order to decipher what really is baseless hatred, baseless anger. What's it all about? Okay? That sound okay to everybody? All right, let's do it. Gittin nun hei. Akamsa. So, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause the shiur at this point because I need to break it up into two parts for technical reasons.